Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event. Fight fans worldwide, you've tuned into the number one undisputed boxing podcast today. This is the Boxing Breakdown. Now, your heavy-handed, hard-hitting host, Mark Roxy.
What's up, what's up, what's up? And welcome to another edition of the Boxing Breakdown. And I'm your host, Mark Roxy. And I'm delighted that you're here again tuning in, and I thank you for that. If you like the program, please do not forget to share it with the boxing community. Find us on Facebook, like us, join the page, The Boxing Breakdown, and also join us on Instagram and Twitter and all of the social platforms. You can find us at The Boxing Breakdown. And yeah, I'm really glad you're with us. And today's episode features a gentleman by the name of Glenn, the Road Warrior / Gentleman Johnson. And I had such a pleasure interviewing Glenn Johnson. He is an absolutely amazing person. And his boxing career was outstanding. This is a guy where, okay, so there's a lot of different types of boxers, as you all know. But what I want to do is distinguish between two types of those boxers. There are many. But the two types of boxers that I want to distinguish against is you've got fighters who cherry pick pretty much all of their opponents until they get to the very, very top. And then you have guys like Glenn Johnson, who basically fight anybody you put him in front of. So Glenn Johnson had a relatively short amateur career, and he started boxing when he was roughly, I think he was 20 years old when he began his boxing career as an amateur. He had about 40 fights or 35 fights, something like that. So I think his record, his amateur, if I can recall, his amateur record was 35-5, something like that. And he was a two-time Florida State Golden Gloves champion. So he didn't spend too much time as an amateur and went right into the professional ranks. And when he did that, he was able to amass a record of 32 bouts without ever losing. He fought quality opposition all the way up. If you study his career, you'll see. And most of those came by way of knockout, TKO, medical decisions. I mean, he really, he spanked his opponents for sure all the way up to his 32nd fight. And after that, he met up with Bernard, the Executioner Hopkins. And that is where he suffered his first loss against Bernard Hopkins in a TKO. And they fought for the International Boxing Federation world title, middleweight title, excuse me. And you know, he's fought everybody. And I think that some of the most celebrated wins that he had was against, Roy Jones Jr., which was he got a TKO, and that was for the International Boxing Federation World Light Heavyweight title. He also went on to defeat Antonio Tarver in a split decision. And later he would suffer a unanimous decision loss against Antonio Tarver. And then he goes on and he fights people like Montel Griffiths, Clinton Woods, Chad Dawson. I mean, Tavoris Cloud, who was an absolute beast in the ring. Alan Green, Carl Froch, Lucien Boutte. This is a gentleman who fought anybody they put in front of him. And he ended up with a record. I think he had 76 fights. And his final record was 54 wins with 20 losses and 2 draws. His KO percentage was roughly 50%, and just shy of 50%. And I wanna know. Hit me up and let me know how much stock do you put in winning and losing? And he really got me thinking, and actually there were several other things. I was working with a couple of fighters, and there's certain things that I've been contemplating about the sport of boxing and what a disservice it is to take a fighter who spent 15 years of his life, and because he loses, somehow give him this notion that he's no longer worthy of fighting. And the reason I say that is because, I mean, if you look at any other sport, if you look at football, baseball, I mean, these baseball teams, they lose half their games. Sometimes they lose 3/4 of their games, and sometimes they win. And same with football, and same with pretty much every other sport. And that those losses actually have a way of making you better. And as a trainer, that's something that I know, and I've watched it for many, many years. So I wonder what you think about that. And when you hear this interview, I wonder if your mind is altered by listening to this incredible human being. So without further ado, I would like to invite into the studio Glenn, the Road Warrior Johnson. What's up? What's up? What's up?
What an introduction. Thank you. Not much up, man. I'm still here, still enjoying life. That's it.
Yeah, that's what's up. You're down in sunny Miami, Florida, right?
Yeah, Miami, Florida.
Oh, man.
I think the best place in the country. So, yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Yes, it is. I would have to agree with you, man. The weather's warm, the women are beautiful, and you're outside. It's a great active lifestyle that you guys live down there.
Oh, yeah, it's nice, man. I enjoyed it a lot. The women are beautiful, and nice sunny weather. You're talking about 85 and 90 degree weather. you got the beach, and you can't ask for nothing else, man. Good health and money, and you're good to go.
Oh, that's what's up. And you got both of them. I know you got both of them. Thank God, man. I'm so.
I know. It's a blessing. Hard work, man, will pay off in the long run.
It does. And so how are you making out down there? How is the boxing scene down in Miami, Florida? I know there's some fights going on down there, and there have been several of them recently, but how's it going for you down there?
Well, boxing been picking up here in Miami. Boxing was a hot topic in Miami for a long time from the Muhammad Ali days, and then kind of cool off for a little bit, but it's picking up again. I'm also thinking about doing some promotion here in Miami myself coming up next year. So I was about to do some stuff myself this year, but the pandemic kind of threw me back and pushed it away into next year. So we got January 23rd as a date that we're targeting to do my first promotion.
Wow.
So it's going on good, man. Right now, I'm also doing the training. I'm training a couple of fighters. I have a few fighters that I'm training. So I'm still in the business. I mean, I'm not in the ring anymore, but I'm outside the ring making moves.
Yo, how lucky are they? How lucky are those fighters to get the Road Warrior in their corner and to be training them, man. They are lucky, bro. For real.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, you know, I have a couple of plans and couple of stuff I want to do in boxing. So
yeah.
I'm working on it. I'm slowly getting those wheels turning and looking to do some big things in the future, brother.
Right. And so let's talk about your promotion. You started a promotional company. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're starting a boxing promotion company. It's called Road Warrior Promotion.
That's what's up.
So we got all the groundwork covered, and we were just about to promote the first fight a few months back, and then the pandemic hit, and then we target October to do it, and the pandemic is still hanging around, so it didn't make sense to do. So now we have a January 23rd date that we targeting. So
wow! And are those fights going to be
January 23 should be our first promotion,
right? And those so once you get back into gear, I'm sure you will be doing that soon. But is that are those fights going to be happening in Miami, Florida, or all over the state of Florida?
No, basically Miami, Florida. I would have to pick up some nice steam to start moving around the country. But for now, I'm just going to stick with locally. And if it take off like I'm hoping, then we can start looking around for other places. But for now, we're hitting Miami and we're trying to hit it as hard as we can.
Right. Yeah, that's beautiful, man. That is exciting news, because I would anticipate that not only, you know, by you having a promotional company out there in Florida, that the kinds of fights that you would put on, I can only imagine the kinds of fights that you would want to have on that promotion. Just by knowing the kind of fighter that you were and are, you know, what kind of fights you would be put matchmaking, I could just imagine. And that is very exciting to me. And those folks in Miami are super lucky to have you down there.
Oh, thanks, man. I certainly appreciate that. No, I definitely intend to put on good fights and entertain the people. I believe people work hard for their money and they should be entertained when they spend it. So I'm definitely looking to do that.
And
it's the same way how I train my fighters. I train my fighters hard because I want them to perform a certain way. So both things. So I have my hand in both areas.
Right. Exactly. And that's pretty incredible. It really is. I hope I can get down there to catch one of your cards for sure. You know?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I would love you to come down. I know you're training some fighters as well. So
oh, yeah.
Maybe we can do some matchmaking. You never know.
You already know. Glenn, you already know. That's a given. And we can definitely, chop that up. Cause that's something I'd definitely be interested in. And I know there's a lot of East Coast fighters down here in the Philly, New York area that would love to get up to you and be part of your promotion, because I know you'll do an outstanding job with that. I got a lot of things I want to talk to you about, man. And this is specifically for the fans out there, the Boxing Breakdown fans that listen to the show. We've got a lot of followers coming into the show, man. And the show is growing. And I just want to thank all the listeners out there for supporting the program and for being on the program and for sharing it. Hit that share button and send it out to your friends so that everybody knows. I mean, this program is a very different program, because my goal with the program is to kind of give fans and people that are in the sport a little deeper insight into the people that are in boxing, including Glenn the Road Warrior Johnson. You know, what is it like to have had a full career in the sport, achieved some of the most profound things in the sport, and also reach some of the lows? You know, your record was 54 wins with 20 losses and 2 draws. Am I correct with that? Was that correct?
Yeah, I believe those numbers are correct. I don't really have the numbers in front of me, but they sound familiar.
Yeah.
So I would say, yes, that's correct. But yeah, I mean, listen, you know, I started boxing when I was 20 years old. It was very tough. You're 20 years old and you're looking for something to do with your life. You know, you're in your younger years, you spend a lot of time going to school and listening to your parents and stuff. And, you know, trying to get to places you want to be through the books and stuff. But, you know, I'm not catching on to the books the way how I would like to. And at 20 years old, you start to look around saying, man, and, you know, I don't wanna just stay in this life that I'm in right now. I wanna excel. I wanna make myself, put myself in a better position. And you know, I walk around, and one day I was passing this building. They was doing construction in there, and I walk in and I ask them what they're doing, and they basically said they were building a gym. It's gonna be a PIL. And if you live in the neighborhood, it would be free for you to come in and train. And
wow.
I said, what is a PAL? And they say it's boxing. It's going to be a local boxing gym. And I was excited because I've never been around boxing. To be honest with you, I didn't even watch boxing. But at least just hearing the word boxing, I know of it. And I was like, wow, well, this is something I have to try because I'm looking very hard at something to do with my life outside of just working in a construction job. So I asked them, how long it going to take for them to open up? And they tell me about a month or so. I say, I will be here.
Wow.
And in a month time, they open up and I walk in and talk to the trainer that was in the gym. And we start training. He took a liking to me. And, you know, in a couple of months' time, he really asked me, he's like, yo, do you really want to box or you just want to lose weight in, you know, in the gym? Are you just working out to lose weight? I said, yeah, my idea is to work out and lose some weight. But if I could be a boxer, I would love to give it a shot.
Wow.
And he said, well, there's some amateur show coming up. Do you want to prepare for it? And I said, yes, of course. If you think I can do it, I definitely will. And he started training me for that. And I got ready, and it was hard work, man. But I got ready. I fought, and I win my first fight. And I was so excited. I was livid. And
wow.
Listen, that was the bug, bro. And there's nothing else I wanted to do with myself from that day forward. And so I stuck with it. And I did 3 years of amateur and turned pro when I was 23. And yeah, I have some ups and downs, but I never let the down stop me, and I never let the up get to my head. I just keep a level profile and a level headed, and just keep working, and you know, start getting some major fights, and I win some of those and lose some of those. But
so
you know, I didn't start boxing when I was 8 years old or 10 years old to have all the experience I needed to have in my 20s. So I learned on the job, and I was able to be successful. So
that is
when
so
I run
inspiring.
Into guys who have like a late start and they don't know if they can do it, I always encourage them: give it your best shot because you never know what can happen.
Wow, man! Listen, that story is so inspiring. Your journey in boxing, for those that are out there, I'm sure you guys are inspired out there, because I'm sitting here just on the edge of my seat listening to what you're saying. And you know, you ended your amateur career with a record of 35-5. So it's not like you had a nothing amateur career at the age of 20. You really dug in and you did 40 amateur fights, and you have a record of 35-5. That's like, to me, that's incredible.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, thank you. You know, it's like I said, man, you know, if you really, really want something, you know, people can say how much they want something, verbally all they want, but You tell me how much you want something by how much work you're willing to put in, how much sacrifice that you're willing to put into it. And then that gives you the best chance of accomplishing it. And like I said, I was looking for something to do with my life before I run into boxing. And once I found it, I was 100% committed. There was nothing that would stop me from doing. It doesn't matter how I work construction work, and it doesn't matter how tired I was. Get off of work at 3:30, and you can believe by 4:30 I was in the gym. I went home, took a shower, and head straight to the gym. I didn't get nothing to eat, nothing for nothing, just water and soap, back into some clothes, my gym bag on my shoulder, and head into the gym. And I did that for 3 years. Never miss a day.
Wow.
And that was my way out. And I never let it go. I grab onto it. And
yes.
I was all the way in, bro.
Yo, it's so inspiring. And I know that you just inspired an entire generation. Anybody that listens to this program that's aspiring to fight, regardless of your age, you know, you want to get in the ring and you want to really make a go at this, you know, all you got to do is listen to Glenn Johnson's story, because it is really, really incredible. And this is what I'm going to say about it. This is something that, Glenn, I'm not even sure that you know. You probably know this, but I know the fans don't know this, and I'm delighted to tell you this. Glenn Johnson had a knockout ratio as a professional fighter of 48.7%, and his estimated power of all his fights, all 54 fights, right? His power estimate was 64%. His chin, get this, people, his chin, the Road Warrior's chin, was 86%. Yo, his unanimous decision, right? Unanimous decisions were 34% of his entire career. His TKOs were 32.9% of his entire career, right? And his estimated knockouts were 18.4%. He went 7.9% split decision and 6.6% as medical decisions, right? Just listen to me, people. This guy, Glenn, your stats are incredible. Your KO, so you've been KO'd 6.97% of your entire career. You've had 531 professional rounds of boxing, and you've only been stopped two times. You've been KO'd, right, 2.63% of your entire career. Your average, you've stopped 37 of your opponents, 37 of them out of 54 fights, right? And you've only been KO'd 0.38%. And your average losing rounds, like average, 11 rounds. Yo, I can go on. I can go on. I know my stuff, bro. I know my stuff, right? When I looked at your stats and I paid attention to what it is that you've actually done, it's incredible. So I wonder if maybe, Glenn, you would just share well, I'll start it off by saying that your best wins, of course, were some of the most iconic wins were against Roy Jones and Anthony Tarver. Those were two of the really most incredible ones. But I really want to explore your career. Who were the hardest hitting opponents that you had?
The hardest hitting opponent that I fought, I think, is Tavares Cloud.
Wow.
He was a strong fighter. He was me and him. We went toe to toe, back and forth. I think he was, the hardest puncher that I fought. The fastest guy that I fought, I would say, Roy Jones.
Okay.
Roy Jones Jr. was extremely fast. And I think the probably the most complete boxer that I'll say kind of this is a good boxer, know how to move, know how to move his hands and stuff like that. I would say Chad Dawson.
Okay, all right.
Chad Dawson, and I think the most crafty, well, I'm talking about being smart in the ring, was Bernard Hopkins.
Wow.
Just very, very, very smart fighter. He's not the fastest guy. He don't punch the hardest. He doesn't move the best or anything like that, but he do it all in a smart way.
Wow.
That really confuse you.
So what were some some of the things that Bernard Hopkins did to the Road Warrior that made you say that? What did he do?
That could also happen because at the time when I fought him, I was fairly green. It wasn't later on when I was seasoned. So, but he was just like, I felt like he knew what I was about to do before I did it. Every time I had a thought, like if I wanted to throw a right hand, it's like he was on the same wavelength with me. He knew I was going to throw a right hand. Like, wow. I wanted to throw a hook. Whatever I thought of doing, I felt in the moment like he knew it. So I was doing something that was either telegraphing it or I was showing some kind of sign or something. But I was, I could not get over on him. He knew everything that he was doing just kind of neutralized what I was trying to do. So,
wow.
But that was my first experience of just getting in the ring with somebody who have so much more experience than I had.
So for the boxing,
he was very confusing for me.
For the breakdown fans out there, listen, Glenn Johnson was undefeated with 32 bouts under his belt before he ever had his first professional loss against Bernard Hopkins. So as you're talking about that, I just wanted to put that in perspective for everybody that you went 32 fights completely undefeated before you ever met up with the likes of Bernard Hopkins. And so what you're saying, I can really understand. And I think, that's incredible. That just lets you know what level Bernard Hopkins is on, because he was an amazing fighter as well. You know, he is an amazing fighter. I don't think he's fighting anymore, but certainly you never know with what's going on these days. You never know if he comes back out, which I want to ask you about a little bit later. But can you just tell me a little bit about what did you do to prepare to defeat Roy Jones? What did you do when you actually defeated him? What preparation did you go? What?
I mean, Roy Jones is a unique story. Roy Jones, I'm a big fan of Roy Jones Jr. So, I always watch his fights and stuff, and with my friends. And I always tell my friends that if I ever get a chance to fight Roy Jones, I would beat him. And they would laugh at me and make fun of me and tell me how much Roy Jones would kill me if we ever fought. So when I actually got the opportunity to fight Roy Jones, you know that all of those things that all my friends were saying to me like 2 years before that was ringing in my head. And I was determined not to make none of those things happen. So I trained extremely hard. I would train. I would brought in like 3 sparring partners, and I would spar each guy for like 1 round, and then bring in a fresh guy the next round, and then a fresh guy the other round, and then keep rotating them. So I would basically every round I would have a fresh guy that I was dealing with, because I wanted to be in such a shape and such tremendous conditioning, because I knew fighting Roy Jones, you needed to stay on top of him, because if you don't, right, you can give him the opportunity to flash his speed and step back and sit back and relax and come back and flash that speed again. If you do that, he will kill you. So
right.
I know I wanted to get on him and stay on top of him and stay on top of him until the end. And so I trained like a maniac. And so when I came out in that first round, if you ever see that fight, I came out and it's like a whirlwind, and I maintained and I lost a little bit of momentum, but I settled in at a high work rate. And it's exactly what I wanted to do. That's how I trained. That's how I prepared. That was my game plan. And because I figured that was the best way to beat him, because I always felt like people gave him too much respect by staying back.
Right.
And he would flash it. He would flash that speed, and that speed would scare people. But I had no fear, so that thing don't scare me. So I was in his back pocket the whole night.
Wow. Yeah, and that's exactly where you were, because I did watch the fight. I have seen the fight several times. And one of the things I noticed is that you never allowed him to have that room so he could hit you with those pot shots, and you really kept the distance shut down on him for the majority of the fight, and threw punches so many punches that you were number one, probably ahead on the scorecards, and number two, you know, eventually you're going to land, you know. And I think that was brilliant of you to be able to have that kind of a game plan against such an amazing fighter.
Yeah, no, it was, you know, because I always, like I said, I watch all of Roy Jones' fight, and I'm a big fan of it. Still is. I don't think he liked me very much, but that's a him problem. I still like him.
I'm sure he loves you, man. I'm sure. Listen, he's such a great guy. I'm sure Roy Jones, if you're listening to the program, which I know you do, please. You know, let's get you two together. So he knows. So Glenn Johnson knows how much you love him, because I know you do, right? I know you do. I know what's up. So what happened with Anthony Tarver? Take us through. How was it going in against a southpaw, first of all, and tell us what happened in that fight.
Well, Tarver is a big guy. He's the biggest light heavyweight that I ever faced. He is a big guy for 175 pounds. I always wondered, every time I see him, I wonder how the hell he weighs. I feel like he must have some kind of way of manipulating the scale, because he certainly never looked like a light heavyweight at any point in time.
Right.
When we were fighting, he would always use his height. He's a tall guy, he's physical, he's a big guy. The thing that works in my benefit, that he was just slow, because he was just so big for that weight class. He was one of the slowest fighters that I ever fought.
Right.
But he's very smart. He's been fighting that style forever, so he knows how to use it. And he can take punishment. So,
right.
the first fight when we fought the first time, I went in there and I actually had plans to stop him. I guess I really thought I would be able to stop him, but he was able to take all the punishment that I was able to dish out. He took it, all the body shots,
wow,
the head shots, whatever I hit him with, he was able to take it. But preparing for him wasn't as hard as the Roy Jones preparation, because I just thought Roy Jones was faster and I needed to be, have a stronger pace. With Tarver, I just felt like I need to be stronger. So it was a different preparation that I had for Tarver. And it worked. I mean, I beat him the first time, and the second time he was able to beat me and pull it out. I gave him a lot of props for that.
Right.
He's a very smart fighter. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to use his talent to his benefit. He's sneaky, so I give him a lot of props.
All right, that's amazing. And then, so tell me, you talked a little bit about Chad Dawson. Tell us about Chad Dawson, how that was, boxing him.
Well, Chad Dawson, I thought was like the most talented guy that I fought. I just thought he had a lot of, but I just think his heart is in question. It's just not, I think he just have his weakness was mostly his heart. He was not a very brave fighter. He, And I think some of that come from the fact that he seems like he have a weak chin. You know, he got knocked out by the Canadian guy. I forgot his name now. I can't come up with his name, but his chin. When we fought, I heard him a couple of times myself. So I think that's probably why he moves as much as he moves, because I think he moves unnecessarily. You know, he could just use his skills. Right. Cut down that movement a little bit and use more of his boxing skills, use more hands and stuff like that, use more pivoting instead of his movement. It was almost a running, you know, he's almost running from the action. And I just thought he was just too skillful. He had too much talent
right.
to be running from anybody like that. You know, again, I always tell people, everybody know themselves better than anybody else know them.
Right.
So you see somebody running like that and scary like that, they have the reason why they are like that. So, you know, you might see the talent from the outside and you figure, man, a guy so talented. Why is he running from a guy that have half his talent? Why is he running around like that? But he knows why he's running around like that.
Right. Exactly. That's a really good point. You know, it's a really good point. Like if you're running, there's definitely reason. He's trying to pull you, or he's running because he's scared, right? There's a reason.
Yeah, right. He knows himself. He knows a weakness that he have that you might not know.
Right.
So you know, somebody that don't have a chin, they get hit and they get hurt easily.
Right.
Or you know, whatever the case is, he knows this, so that's why he's trying his hardest to avoid it. So
right.
So you know, those are the reasons. So I always for me, when I see somebody running when I was fighting, I was trying to go find out why. So I turned up the pressure.
And you did that. You did that 54 times. So you did that 54 times. And half of those times, meaning almost 50% of those times, you found out exactly why they were running. So you knew the answer 50% of the time with your KOs. So I just want to talk a little bit about the Super 6 World Boxing Classic that you were involved in. And basically you joined the Super 6 and you replaced Michael Kessler because Michael Kessler had, I guess he had like a detached retina. Was that what it was?
Yeah. He had a detached retina. I had to pull out. They called me and wanted to know if I wanted to join. I mean, I thought, I believe at that time I was like, 42 or something like that, maybe 44, I'm not sure, but I had to make 168 in probably 10 years. At that time,
wow.
I was fighting 175 pounds, but it was a great opportunity for me. So I got a nutritionist. I never had a nutritionist before, so I got one and we start hitting the ground running and put in the work. I end up losing the weight and I made it. And now we fought a friend of mine who was one of the people that I was sparring with when I was getting ready for Ryan Jones and Al Green.
Wow.
Alan Green. And so my first fight in the Super 6 was against Alan Green.
Yeah, and you knocked him out. You knocked him out in the eighth round. That was on November 6, 2010 in Las Vegas, Nevada. You actually stopped him. And that was actually, was that in the semifinal or the?
Yeah, that was the semifinals. And then,
that was before the semifinals.
Before the semifinals. And then I fight,
Carl Crutch. Yeah.
Right. To go to the finals. So Carl Crutch was the semifinals. Yeah.
Right.
And then I lost a split decision to him. And then he went and fought against, Andre Ward. For the championship, and Ward won.
Wow. Yeah. What was it like to be in the Super 6? I mean, that was like a really big deal, man.
Yeah, that was an awesome experience. One, the first challenge was losing the weight. at my age and to win in and competing against the best fighters at the super middleweight division. I mean, those were the best guys of that weight class. So I went in and compete against those guys. That was awesome. I really wanted to fight against Ward because I always felt like he was the best of the bunch, and so I wanted to compete against him, but I didn't get that opportunity because I didn't pass the test before Ward. So,
wow.
So, but it is what it is. But it was great experience for me, and I loved it. I enjoy my career a lot, man. What not to love? You know what I mean?
Listen,
starting at 20 years old and achieve what I achieved.
It is so inspirational.
I think I could walk around with my face high.
It is so inspirational, man. And yes, you can. And your final, I don't even want to use the word retired. Let's just say that right now, as the record stands, you had 77 fights, 54 of those fights came by, they were wins, and 21 losses, which is why you had the name The Road Warrior, because a lot of those fights didn't even happen in your hometown. They happened on the road. I mean, you went everywhere to fight. It just is such an impressive record. I always knew that you were, you were a beast in the ring, a true big boy. But I never really understood what you achieved until I started breaking down your record and really getting into it. And it's really inspirational for any fighter out there that's looking to really make a go at a career in boxing. You look at Glenn Johnson's record, and you can see it's kind of a roadmap to how to be in boxing. You know, what do you think about all these promoters and such that put so much on an undefeated fighter? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I mean, I actually think that is the downfall for boxing. The reason why boxing lost a lot of its mojo is because of, promoters so desperately want their fighters to be undefeated. They started to rip off when their fighters get beat. They're starting to, they have these friend, the judges or relationship judges that they have judging the fight, and these judges are making very bad decisions when they watch the fights and people watching. And see that they're starting to feel like it's rigged and it's this and it's that and turn people off, and people start to look at anything, not MMA and all of these other combat sports are more popular than boxing itself, especially with the young people. It's just because out of all the bad decisions that they see over the years, time and time again, people start to just look to something else. And that's what it is. I mean, listen, it doesn't kill you to lose a fight here and there. It's how you is how you come back from it can tell the story. You don't have to be undefeated. But when you're undefeated, it is actually what the people gravitate to, is what the promoters gravitate to, and is what the TV network gravitate to.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why the promoters are so corrupt about trying to keep their fighters undefeated. A lot of times they do bad matches, one-sided fights, just to make sure that their fighter gonna win the fight, before they take any chance or any risk with these fighters.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I tend to agree with you. I think from an entertainment standpoint, a lot of the promoters that have A side, B side fights are really missing the mark on it, because what they actually are doing is really turning off the fans, because fans are very smart, and they, there's only so many times they're going to pay to come see your fight or watch a pay-per-view that is so one-sided. And then the outcome is so wrong that, you know, it's almost as if they're questioning their validity of buying that show or even being a part of it. And I think that's why we lose so many people to the sport. I can't agree with you more. And I just wanted to put a little color around that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it, when once in a while, when there's a good matchup and the fighter, the A-side fighter actually lose, the decision go to the A-side fighter anyway. Huh. So that's where you lose the entertainment factor. Because listen, we all want the fighter we like to win. I mean, more for the most part, the A-side fighter is always more liked by the bigger population
right.
than the B-side fighter. That's just the facts of it. He's an A-side for a reason.
Right.
But when the B-side fighter actually put the work in and beat that A-side guy, come on, he have a family, he have a life, he have expectation of himself. Everybody, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why would you want to cheat him out of all of that hard work, all that he did? Why would you want to cheat him when that A-side guy might have another opportunity way much easier than the B-side guy? If the B-side that guy get a loss, he basically has to go back and start all over almost. The A-side guy, you can put him right back in there and get his career moving again. Because he was the A-side guy for a reason, because he's somewhat of a star, unknown and popular, and have some kind of big edge. So it's just painful. I've been there. I've been on both sides of that spectrum.
Right.
Where I was the A-side guy, and I've been in many spectrum, and I was the B-side guy as well. And I've won many fights that was taken from me. You know, those 20 losses, all of them not losses, more than half of them was just taken from me.
Right.
So I know I'm speaking from an experience factor. So it's tough. And every time they take that fight from you, it's like starting your career all over again, because you go to the very bottom and you have to take all of the time to start all over again. That's why a lot of fighters, when they lose like that, you never hear from them again.
Because
it break your heart, and you never have the inspiration to come back from it. But, you know, I was just too determined to get from where I was to another place. So I would not let them snatch my goals away from me.
And so well, first of all, your mental fortitude, your mental and your spiritual fortitude, and your physical fortitude is just remarkable. And what advice would you give to a younger fighter that's looking to make their way up the ranks, that maybe has a loss on their record or doesn't present as an A-side fighter? Well, what advice would you give to them?
Well, the one thing you want to make sure that you're doing is learning. Right. So you want to make sure that you're learning your craft every day, because there's a difference to just going to the gym and train and going to the gym and learn. That's a big difference. And if you're just going to train doesn't mean that you stay the same, but you're getting in shape, you're in better cardio and all of that stuff.
Right.
But you're basically staying the same. So that's not going to boost your career anywhere. But if you're going in the gym and you're learning and you're getting better every day, then you know that eventually you're going to break through.
Right.
And that's the most important thing I would tell a fighter, is make sure that you are learning. And the next thing that you want to have, man, you got to have determination, for sure. You got to have that determination. That's very important.
Wow. Yeah, man. I mean, I just keep coming back to, you know, maybe we should add on your name, your new name, The Educator, because you definitely have a lot of wisdom with all the roads that you've traveled. You have a tremendous wealth of information. Y'all out there in Miami, Florida, man, listen, you need to link up with Glenn the Road Warrior Johnson, because you'd be in good hands if you did, bro. For real, for real. And
They could always hit me up on Instagram, Glenn Johnson Boxer, That's where they can find me easiest. Go to Instagram, Glenn Johnson Boxer.
Yeah, you
leave off the E and the boxer. But I would pull up before you even get to that anyway.
And so, I'll make sure I put a link in the episode. I'll make sure that I put a link in there of how they can reach you. Do you have a website or any other way that they can get a hold of you?
That's the best way, because that's the one that I'm on every day. If you email me and anything else, not really going to get to it as fast as I would get to the Instagram. So the Instagram is basically the best way to get me.
There you go. Y'all heard it right here from the Road Warrior. You know how to get a hold of them, right? If you're looking for, to get on a card, or you're looking to do something with boxing, man, definitely. If you're out in the Miami area, hit them up. And I have one more question to you for you before we end here. I got to ask you this. I've been thinking about this all day, right? So you know how dangerous the sport of boxing is. No one knows better than you, right? So what do you think about Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, Roy Jones, Oscar De La Hoya, and then our good friend Canine Bundridge, right? What do you think about all these guys that are a little older looking to make ring returns? Oh, I just heard Floyd Mayweather is thinking about coming back out of retirement to fight. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, listen, it all depends on who each one of these guys want to get back in the ring with. That's the key. Because, if they're getting back in the ring, because as far as what I was told, Tyson's going to get in there with Roy Jones. Roy Jones have to worry about that. I think Tyson is in a safe place with that.
Right.
So, and if Holyfield going to get in the ring with Mike Tyson, I think that's fair. I don't think that's any big problem there, because you're talking about they're in similar age group. But if you were saying that they was getting in there with Tyson Fury or Deontay Wilder or these type of guys, then I would be totally against it more. I wouldn't have I wouldn't go for that. But if they're getting in there with each other, I mean, I don't know who Floyd Mayweather talking about fighting. I mean, I think he should definitely fight Pacquiao again. That's a fight I would watch. Because I always thought they should have at least fight twice.
Right.
But if he's actually thinking about getting in there with Crawford or Spence or one of those guys, then I would think that's not a good move.
No bueno.
So it all depends on who you're getting in the ring with. I heard Roy Jones was pulling out the Tyson fight. I tell him to throw my name in there. I'll get in there with T. If they want to make it worth my while, I throw my name in there. I send it on Instagram to Mike Tyson and let him know, say, if Roy Jones pull out, consider me. I'll get in there and give you the business.
Yo, that's for real. That would be a serious matchup. Like that, I never even thought of that matchup, but that actually could be even a harder fight than the one that he.
Well, I actually think I'm a better fight than a Roy Jones
for
Tyson, but I understand the reason why they have Roy Jones Tyson instead of a Tyson Glenn Johnson. Because Roy Jones is just a bigger name; he's more of a star. Everybody know who he is. Not everybody know who I am, so I get it. I understand the star factor. But actually, the fight itself, the entertainment factor itself, I'm a way better entertainer than Roy Jones.
Oh, no. No
doubt.
Where
he is now and where I am now.
And neither one of you would be very hard to find in the ring. That's what would make that an absolutely incredible fight, because y'all would be right there in the tire. Yeah, we'd be going toe to toe for the whole fight, bro.
For sure.
I could see that.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Listen, is either Tyson going to knock me out, or we both want to lay down in the ring with our tongue hanging out of our head?
Listen, I'm going to shout out Mike Tyson like I do on all my episodes. Just so you know, Glenn Johnson, I love Mike Tyson. I'm sure you know
I
that.
I love Mike Tyson
too.
Mike Tyson is my favorite heavyweight of all.
For sure.
Muhammad Ali is my favorite. That Tyson is second.
Yeah, yeah. He's a beloved fighter, man. He's done so much for the sport. And just to have him grace his presence in the ring one more time is incredible. And I would say the same for you, Mr. Glenn.
Yeah, listen, if I get a chance to get in there with Tyson, then I can actually say that I've gotten in the ring with like two of my favorite fighters in my era. That would be Roy Jones and Mike Tyson. Those are my two favorite guys.
For sure.
While I was watching boxing. And like I said, Ali's my favorite fighter as a heavyweight, but he was before my time when I was watching boxing. I only know of him and his history and fell in love with who he is and what is what he was about.
Right.
So that's the reason why he's my favorite fighter. But far as guys that I watch fight in the ring in my lifetime, Tyson and Roy Jones are my two favorites.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. And you know what, since you're a promoter now and you're going to launch your promotion and it's going to be huge when you get into the, you know, post COVID-19 era, I just want to put this out for you. Okay, I'm gonna create something right now for you. Maybe you could do like an all-stars tour, like an all-stars, you know, like a Super Six all-star of all the older fighters, man.
Old-time goodies.
Glenn, listen.
I actually thought about that already. You know what the next thing that I thought about too, and maybe this is a little selfish of me to think about it. I also thought about all the trainers that's training fighter. I have a tournament of all the trainers.
Yo.
All the trainers, because I'm a trainer too.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I'm a trainer.
You'll be between me and Buddy McGurk, I think, at the end of the day. But Buddy's fat now, so I think I could get it.
yo, that's a great, listen, that's a great, great, great promotion. I'm telling you right now, that would be huge. So you heard it first here. Glenn Johnson, the Road Warrior Gentleman Promotions. It's going to be called the Road Warrior Promotions. And he's going to do this. You're going to do that. That's going to be incredible. And when you do it, I want to be at ringside. I'll be your commentator, or I'll just, you know, if you want me to get in the ring, you know, we can find a matchup and I'll get in there too as a trainer, man. For real, for real. For real.
I'm in. I told you this. I'm in.
I know. I love it, bro.
Something I've been thinking about for a while now. So yeah, I'll put both ideas. We could even put both ideas together. We don't have to be two separate promotions. It could just be one promotion. Old time boxers. And all the trainers, new trainers and old trainers, everybody can come in and we match them all up and have fun.
You'd get HBO back in the business, and I'll tell you what, you'll get them all clamoring to do it, because this is why. Because you see people like Mike Tyson and Roy Jones and Glenn Johnson and Evander Holyfield and Oscar De La Hoya and all the Bundrich, all you guys. Like, this was an era. You guys were part of an era. And Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield, they set off an era where there were tons of fans supporting boxing. That a lot of those fans, the older fans, you might even call them like blue hairs or white hairs, right? That have kind of gone away from the sport. You'd pull them all right back into the sport, man. I'm telling you.
I know.
Yeah, for real.
I know, that would be awesome. Yeah, a lot of the fans. I mean, back then when Tyson and Holyfield and Riddick Bowe, all of these guys was putting boxing on the map. I mean, boxing was so big, so huge. Everybody, I mean, I couldn't wait from when I hear one fight happen until for the next fight to happen. I couldn't wait for the next match. And that enthusiasm is gone now. Most of, when you hear about a fight now, it's not really so much of a big deal anymore. It's lost. And I'm in the business. So I can tell you, I don't feel the same way when I hear about a match happening.
Well, you're going to turn that around, and I hope the sport does turn around. I certainly am going to do my part to shed light and share stories like your story and really have fans really get linked up again with the beauty and the majesty of the sport of boxing. And Glenn Johnson, man, I just can't I just want to tell you how grateful I am for you to have spent this hour with me and really with the fans of the Boxing Breakdown. I am truly honored to have you on the program, and I look forward to getting together with you in the near future. And I just want to thank you for being on the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, and your platform is a tremendous one. Thank you for keeping boxing in the public mind, giving all the boxers an outlet to come and be themselves and let the public get to know them a bit, get to see their personalities different, all different personalities. And this platform is a good one, and I appreciate you giving me a chance to come and spend an hour on it. So thank you, and thank all your fans for their time for listening, and we'll talk soon.
Oh, man, thank you. God bless you. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, until the next time, peace and love, and see you on the next episode of the Boxing Breakdown.
Fight fans, join host Mark Roxy and special guests as they break down all aspects of the boxing world, including news, business, management, training, promotions, fan reactions, upcoming events, matchups, future boxing stars, title fights, state of the boxing world, and all the stuff you don't see when you watch boxing. This podcast is released each week on Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Live streamed on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook Live. It's the Boxing Breakdown, hosted by Mark Roxy.